go tell it on the mountain. Amen. Sunday school, you can be dismissed. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Last month on Lord's Supper Sunday, we brought a message about the Lord's Supper. It is a love feast. It's a wonderful, wonderful time for us. Sometimes you can get in a rut, you know, and it just becomes something that you do. But it's such a special, special time. And today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 11. I usually read this whenever we have the Lord's Supper. So it's line upon line, precept upon precept. We repeat things. The Bible, I don't know how many times you've been through the Bible, but every time you read through it, it's new, it's fresh. Amen? It's a wonderful book. So let's begin reading here in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That word remembrance, that's what we're going to be looking at today. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's the thing that is remembered, his sacrifice, his death, the payment for our sin, and what that opens up for us. He wants us to remember that. And so that's what the feast is. It's all about remembering the Lord. Let's bow our heads and ask his blessing. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Jesus, thank you for dying in our place. And may the Holy Spirit of God just melt our hearts today. May we be grateful for the goodness and the mercy that you've shown us. May we remember. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a blessed subject. Memory, remembering things, it's a recall. And that's what memory or remembering is. It's an idea that occurs to the mind spontaneously, without much mental exertion. In other words, something that you really enjoy or really see is important, you remember that. Sometimes trivial things we just don't remember, but something that is really important and that has affected our heart, you remember that. Sometimes there's a gift, sometimes there's a relationship, sometimes there's a favor that's done for you, and you remember those things. Amen? And we are to put our memories in cement. Put the offenses in the sand. Amen? And not remember those things. But it's good to remember. There's a lot of words that bring this out. Memorandum. That's a note to help the memory. That's what a memorandum is. I have 3x5 cards I carry around with me, and I have schedules on them or where I'm supposed to be, because some people use their phone for that. I do a little bit. But I'll put these notes on a 3x5 card, but then I forget the 3x5 card. You know, I don't know if you do that. When I go to the store, there's 3 or 4 items, 5 items that my wife wants me to get. Let me give you a note. I don't need a note. I mean, it's 3 things, right? I don't need a note going to the store. And you get in the store and you call your wife and you say, what was that third thing? You know, so sometimes it's good to have a note like that. It's sticky notes. Whoever invented sticky notes is a multi-millionaire. Putting paste on some colored paper. I mean, that's not very hard to invent, right? There's things I look back on, I say, man, why didn't I invent that, you know? But sticky notes, they're all over the place because people need that memorandum. A memorial is a monumental record. It's a memorial. They want you to remember something. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the wall for the Vietnam veterans. And there are all kinds of memorials, and you could probably think of some others, but that is something that is a monumental record so that people don't forget. You have memory, the faculty of the mind by which it retains the knowledge of past events. That's what memory is. It's not remembering a future event. It hasn't happened yet. It's remembering something that happened in the past. And sometimes the farther we get removed from something, the less we remember it. It's good to recall it. It's good to remember it. Ideas that are past also. We have good memories and bad memories. Amen? Sometimes we remember what we just said, and sometimes we don't. We have good memories and bad memories. Sometimes we forget what we just said. Did I just say that? You know what I mean? And you repeat yourself, but that's maybe a bad memory. But it's good to have a good memory, to recall, to memorize. That means to record or to commit to memory. I've mentioned this before. I took 3 years of French in our class in third year French. That's all we spoke is French. We had French names. We weren't allowed to speak English in the class. And this was in my younger days. My recall was a lot better. And I mean, we just had that. And our French teacher says, now, if you don't lose this or use this, you're going to lose it. And sure enough, bonjour, bonsoir. I can say good morning and good night. But anyway, you forget what you don't use. Amen? That's why thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. While I was musing, thinking about it, committing it to memory, the fire burned. So we have to remember these things. You've probably committed a lot of Bible verses to memory. I say all the time, if you have a besetting sin, or weights, or something that really troubles you in this life and you struggle with, memorize some Bible about it. And when you memorize that, the Word fights for you. The Word helps you. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this all has to do with our memory, and it's a blessing to have that. This is something that is to record, to commit to memory, to cause to be remembered. Philippians 1:3, Paul said to that church there, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Philippians, Philippi. This is where Paul and Silas were put into jail. And he remembered the songs in the night. That's the next verse where I want to look at. Psalm 77:6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. He remembered what God had done for him, but he also remembered the people there and what wonderful people they were. My wife and I will talk about you throughout the week. It's good. Okay? It's not, it's good. Our heart is knit together. You are endeared to us. It's because we thank God for you. So we pray for you and your needs and for your love and your mercy. 2 Peter 1:12. Next few verses are about Peter. But he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. You already know it, but Peter is going to say, I'm going to repeat this because I want you to recall it. I want it to be solidified in your heart and in your mind because this is for your profit. This is for your benefit. So there's things that I preach, I already know that. It's good to hear it again. Amen? Again and again and again, because that's what the Bible says. 2 Peter 1:13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, his body, his life, he says, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. It stirs us up. How many times do we look back on something that was a wonderful experience, and we remember it, and we relive it, and it's encouraging? Amen? How many times when you remember some bad experience, you know, maybe some sinful experience, and it's not encouraging at all. So we need to remember the good. Whatsoever things are good and pure and honest and lovely, think on these things, casting down the imaginations, the wrong thoughts. And so we bring our thoughts into captivity to Christ. And so he says to do that. That's what Peter is saying here. 2 Peter 3:1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So that's what the memory does. It stirs us up. It can stir you up to a negative feeling, but it can stir you up to wonder, to awe, to thanksgiving, to joy, because it's the right thing to think about. Amen? It stirs us up, and we ought to be stirred up. That was important for Peter. He wanted to remember things what the Lord has done for him, and he wanted other people to remember that. Psalm 9, have you ever shared something that you were excited about with somebody because you wanted them to be blessed too? I mean, there are circumstantial things or carnal things, but there are spiritual truths too. And we talk about those experiences. And we magnify the Lord because the Lord did it. And somebody else enters into that awe and wonder that we're experiencing. Amen? That is a good thing. When I speak, and maybe I get excited about something, I want that excitement to be shared. You know, to spread throughout somebody else. And we all want that. So we preach the word and we teach the word, and it's just, it's a wonderful thing. In Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And so what do we need to remember? Do you remember the day you were saved? Think about it. The day you were saved. That wonderful day when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That wonderful day when you realized that you were a sinner and he was the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And so we accept that. And we trust him as our Savior, and our lives change. Amen? And there's stories about that. We've all had a different, maybe circumstantial new birth. You know, we were driving in the car. It was in a church service. It was here. It was there. Could have been in jail. I mean, there's all kinds of testimonies. But it was a wonderful time when we understood that truth, and we remember it. For the Christian, since that time, we're born again of the Spirit. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we are in Christ. Christ is in us. We have the new birth. So we're spiritually born again. The Bible says in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, this is the Lord speaking, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Thy word is truth. The Spirit will guide us into all truth. So he helps us. He brings those verses back to mind. That's why it's so important to memorize the Bible. You're driving down the road. You're at work. You're with relatives. You're with neighbors. And God brings verses to your mind all the time. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Any preacher, any teacher of the word, any Sunday school teacher, as you're trying to get a message across, the verses will pop in the mind. That's God doing that. Amen? And so it's such a blessing to do that, but that's the Holy Spirit bringing those things back to our remembrance. So the more Bible we put in, the better. Amen? Put the good in, not the bad. What's the old saying? Giggle. What is that? Garbage in, garbage out. But you want to put the good stuff in there because you'll remember it. There's things we want people to remember about us. Amen? And there's things we want people to forget about us. We want that too. Forget it, you know. There's things we want God to remember about us. And there's things we want God to forget about us. So we need to be merciful with people because we have that thought too. Psalm 25:7. This is what the psalmist is praying. He's praying to God. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. O Lord, don't remember this. Remember this. Because you're so merciful, because you're so kind, remember this. You have Psalm 79:8. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. We're sinners. Amen? And a just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. We've all done wrong. We've done wrong to other people. We've done wrong in the name of the Lord. But there's forgiveness. Amen? And there's mercy. And there's long-suffering. Right? There's no perfect people. So we forgive people. It says, oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. One more. Hebrews 10:17. God says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Lord, don't remember the sin. Remember your goodness. Remember your mercy in my life. And God does that. He says, we're saved, right? So he says, I'm going to wipe all your sins away. I'm going to wash all your sins away. Your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Now, does that mean that all-knowing God, ever-present, you know, all-powerful God forgets things? Well, the Bible says he does. But it is a forgetfulness that he decides, I'm going to forget it. Like somebody owes you money, and you're hoping to get that money back. Right? If you're not hoping to get it back, lend me some money. Amen? But if you're hoping to get that money back, and all of a sudden, you know, well, I'm not going to get it back. You know, I don't want this to corrupt my spirit. So the Bible says, lend without wanting anything in return. There's a reason for that. If you can give somebody money and they never give it back, you don't want to wreck your whole life with bitterness for something like that. So if you do that, you give somebody something, and if you don't get it back, you have to already be ready for that. Amen? But you could say, just forget it. Just forget it. But you're not going to get it out of your head. So when it pops up again, you cast it down. So all-knowing God knows everything about you. Amen? But he has a divine forgetfulness. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I think that's so precious. God chooses to forget, but he still remembers. But he doesn't call us to account for that. We can choose to forget. We can. If we don't, it's going to be a difficult thing. Life is going to be hard. We're going to be mad at a waiter or a waitress, a store person, the neighbor, the fellow worker. Yeah, I mean, you're just going to get tore up by it. You have to choose to forget it and then use the mercy of God. Amen? It's just biblical. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. That's a blessing. It's his glory to pass over a transgression. That's a wise person. You read about the Passover back in Exodus chapter 12. They put the blood on the doorposts, on the side posts of the door, and the Bible says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In Corinthians, it says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He died for us. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But God is merciful. Aren't you glad about that? So God is merciful and God forgives us. And it is his glory, our glory, to pass over a transgression and to show mercy and to show the goodness of God. That is a blessing. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, it is good to choose to forget some things. Otherwise, they just go with you and they're a bitter pill to swallow. There are some things, though, we should never forget. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. There are women that forget their children. They don't care for their children. They abandon their children. That a mother's love is very strong, but those things happen. That's what God is saying. Can they forget? Yea, they may forget. But he said, I will never forget. Sometimes we think God is like we are. God is not like we are. God is a merciful God. God is love all the time. Amen? He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Psalm 103 and verse 2, forget not all his benefits. Proverbs 3:1, forget not my law. James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Take your Bible, go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is filled with the word remember and filled with examples of that remembering the goodness of God. Deuteronomy, it means second law. God wanted to make sure that this was brought out again and that the people remembered. We'll go to chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll read several verses here. Let's begin in verse 4. Now remember, they haven't gone into the promised land. God has been good to them, very, very good to them. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And here we begin reading in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That covers it. Amen? That's like a 24-hour day. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Excuse me. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Look at chapter 8. I know this is a number of verses, but it's so important to see this. He says, when I bless you, when I deliver you, when I bring you out of bondage, when I bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey and all these blessings, don't forget what I brought you from. Don't forget me. Don't forget how God delivered you. Amen? And it's the same for us. We go to chapter 8. Let's begin in verse 9. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou may diggest brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten this wealth. No, it hasn't. God gave you the mind and the health to do that, and the character. He gave you the opportunity. It's all glory to God. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And so Deuteronomy, if you read Deuteronomy, you'll find this all the time. Remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this. Because that remembrance stirs us up. That remembrance, if it's real in our heart, it makes us thankful for what God has done. And that produces not being hearers only, but doers of the word, doers of the work. It's how God works. We come to our text in 1 Corinthians 11. What should we remember about the Lord? He says, remember me. Remember this, do in remembrance of me as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Obviously, we remember his death, his sacrifice for our sins. That is so powerful. It's such a powerful truth. Almighty God sent his Son into this world, and he died in my place. It's so deep, such a deep, deep truth. But it's true. It's wonderful. John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He's talking about the cross, being on the cross. And on the cross is where he draws all men unto him, because that's where the mercy of God is seen. That's where the love of God is seen. Amen? Forgive them. They know not what they do. The thief on the cross next to Jesus said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had to understand he's going to die, but he has a kingdom. That's what he preached. Amen? And that's where our hope is. It's the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We have a hope, both steadfast and sure. Sure, it's appointed unto men once to die. But because of the cross, because he lives, we shall live also. And so the thief on the cross, don't remember my transgressions. Just remember me, that I put my faith in you when you come into your kingdom. That's wonderful. Amen? And so God erases all that past sin because it's paid for by the cross. Man, that's good. Man, that's good. It's a blessing to know that. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So you see the love of God. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's what we're talking about. That Holy Spirit brings those things back to memory. It's a blessing. We remember his death. We remember his sacrifice. But we also remember his benefits, don't we? He daily loadeth us with benefits, is one verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, is another verse. So every day, there's a zillion, maybe, what is it, quadzillion? I don't know what the big one is, but there's a lot of benefits. Amen? Every day, he daily loads us with benefits. Well, I had a flat tire in the car. Well, be thankful the engine didn't blow up. Amen? You know, I mean, there's always something to thank God for, and it's not just circumstantial. But he daily loads us with benefits, and so God says, forget not those benefits. So when they happen, just thank God for it. I think that's a blessing. There was a preacher, and he wrote this. It is common for people to strive for what they don't have and take for granted what they do have. In doing this, many fail to appreciate the goodness of God that he has shown to them. They live lives unsatisfied, wanting more without recognizing what God has provided in their lives. When the focus is on what I don't have, I'm always striving for more. It can get into covetousness. But when we thank God for what we have, we can always be thankful. Amen? Just depends on who you compare yourself to, and we're not supposed to compare ourselves. What I say last week, I complained I had no shoes till I met somebody who had no feet. You know, there's always something to thank God for. It's a blessing. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You might not have a lot of physical blessings, but I mean, in America, we have a lot of blessings. Amen? But what about the spiritual blessings? And maybe that's why we don't recognize the load of blessings that God gives us every day. It's a load. Well, you know, I'm struggling here and I'm struggling there. And that can be circumstantial. But what about the spiritual blessings? Let me just name a few, and they're all biblical. Peace, love, joy, comfort, confidence, wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally. Strength, direction, spiritual opportunity, etc., etc., etc. Those have nothing to do with circumstances. Has nothing to do with profit or loss. It has nothing to do with gain or what I don't have. It has to do with a spiritual blessing. The peace of God. What was it last week? Better is it, and I have to paraphrase it because I don't remember the verse, better is it to have a salad with peace than a steak dinner with strife. That's my interpretation of it. But it's a verse in the Bible. And it's better, amen? It's just better because that is a spiritual blessing. We remember his death, we remember his benefits, and then lastly, we remember his calling. They're all tied together. They're all tied together. We look to the cross, and because of the cross, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. There shall be showers of blessings. They come from God. We sing about it. It's what the Christian life is all about. Blessing after blessing, benefit after benefit. And what does that do? Peter said, I want to stir you up. I want to stir up your minds by bringing this truth again and again and again. It's not what we hear, it's how what we hear affects us. Amen? You ever watch a movie with your wife, and you're watching the movie, and your wife is crying, and all you want to do is watch the football game? You know, and you're going, man, okay, yeah, this is sentimental, but it's only a movie. Or maybe at another time, your heart just gets into the movie. I've wept at a number of movies. And you're watching that, and you're so affected by it. And it's a movie. You know, it's fiction. It's not even true. But it seems to be so real. How does that affect you? Amen? Amen, guys? You ever cry at a movie? I've cried at a lot of football games. My team hasn't done too well, and that's the reason to cry. But I mean, your emotions. And sometimes people are more emotional than other people, and we get that. But it does stir us up to remember what the Lord has done, so we remember his calling. Remembrance of him, his sacrifice, his mercy, his kindness, that will produce something in your life. The memory will produce something in your life. The Apostle Paul, when he got saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he said, and this was in his testimony later in the book of Acts, he said, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That was what it said. But who art thou, Lord? He says to the Lord. And then he said, what wilt thou have me to do? When he saw that revelation, he said, the next thing, what wilt thou have me to do? When he gave his testimony later in the book of Acts, he says the same thing. He tells that story. In Ephesians chapter 2, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and beginning in verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're saved by grace. You put faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by works. But then in verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And it says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We've been saved to do good works. Good works don't save us. Our salvation, it stirs us up to do something good for the Lord. Amen? To cast our crowns at his feet. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. So we are to take up our cross and follow him. And we see the goodness of God, and our hope is in the Lord. And one day this is all going to be over, and only what's done for Christ shall last. Amen? But we have the privilege to be able to work, serve the Lord, because he's so good to us. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course. Because at that day, the Lord laid up a crown of righteousness for me. And he looked forward to that. Jesus looked forward to that. And so we look forward to that. Amen? Fight the good fight of faith. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, that take me out of my comfort zone. That'd be a real sacrifice to fight that battle, but we have to fight it for him and for lost souls. Amen? And so we share the gospel story. We share what happened to us. I'm saved by the grace of God. I remember when I was in Bible college and we would go into South Chicago with the bus to pick up rough children. Even some gang members. There were all kinds of gangs. We had two different gangs of teenagers on our bus at one time. Boy, that was fun, trying to keep peace there. But, I mean, we'd drive down the streets and they'd throw rocks at the windows or tomatoes at the windows. I mean, it was just a rough, rough area. Some of the parents, when we go pick the kids up, they were passed out drunk and the kids just got on the bus and came to Sunday school. Just really, really rough. And what did you do that for? Go into those areas. So those little kids, which are precious to the Lord, could hear the gospel. I remember one time somebody threw something at the bus, and this was, I should have never done this, but I ran off the bus and I was running after him. I don't know what I was going to do if I caught him. It was the stupidest thing that I ever did. And my wife is saying, "Paul, don't get back on the bus." And I turned a corner, and there was about 10 of them. No problem. I knew karate. They got away, and I was so thankful as I look back on that. Man, am I glad I didn't catch anybody, you know? Stupid, stupid thing to do. But we were up there, and it was dangerous. I could tell you stories about it. But we did it so those little children could hear the gospel. Amen? Operation Christmas Child. Just all the different things. Release time when we had it. We weren't able to have it because of the COVID. But, I mean, all kinds of different things we can do for the Lord. Amen? That isn't real comforting for us or profitable for us. But that's his calling because we remember what he did for us. Amen? And the more we remember about his goodness to us, it's the same thing in life. You think of somebody who's been good to you. That endears you. We need to be endeared to the Lord. Love him with all your heart because he's been good to you. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we so appreciate the gift of Jesus Christ. It's called the unspeakable gift. There's no words to describe it. May it not be a form to us. May it not just be a knowledge. May it so affect our hearts. May we thank you for your benefits as well as your salvation. May we serve you with all of our heart because you are worthy. God, we love you. And may the Holy Spirit of God help that love in each of us to grow. In Jesus' precious name, amen.